My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Bills over the Cardinals in week one. Off to Miami this week for Thursday Night Football on Prime. Al.
Right.
Should I?
Kirk.
L.
You
should, right?
Yeah, sure.
Why not? It's worth a text.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the... Listen to me now. It's worth a text. Al Michaels, I guess. I guess we could talk to him. Listen, what happened to me? Eric Wood has been our show Monday afternoons for most of the last 15 years. Eric, a rookie back in 2009. There were a couple times when we talked to Micah Hyde for a year or two, and it hasn't always been Eric. Eric, do you remember sort of having this idea put to you back when you were a young player on the Bills? Like, did you want to do a radio segment, or were you talked into it? How do you remember it?
So I believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick was prior to me, and I felt like if Fitz did it, that's probably a good idea for me to do it as well. And I was thinking, well, it pays pretty good. I'll do it. It pays better, maybe better than it does now. I'm just kidding. But
I wouldn't know.
No, I mean, honestly, I just figured, man, if the quarterback did it a year prior and now they want the center, that feels like a pretty big honor.
Was he on mornings, maybe, Bulldog?
Yeah, I don't know where Fitz was, because we had Stevie Johnson
right
before we had you, Eric, I think, is how our...
Okay. Maybe he did the mornings or whatever it was.
Well, despite
go from Stevie to me, I'll take that.
Despite what sounds like a massive pay cut, we are honored that you're still willing to join us on Mondays as we start another season here.
You're not a player anymore, Eric. You're just a broadcaster. So the pay cut is commensurate with that standing.
It's just built into my contract.
Broadcasters are allowed to say someone else is just a broadcaster, I think. I think we can get away with that. So, Eric, of course, Bulldog and I spent every day here since February trying to figure out what these Bills would look like. I think we got it pretty close. You know, the defense was probably going to have a little bit of trouble, you know, with all the key men that left, and plus the Milano injury, and then Johnson early in this game, which we'll talk about. And offensively, you know, who gets the ball? They kind of all did, but it's also more of a running team. That's kind of what you're seeing everywhere in the league here to start 2024. How did, for you, yesterday's performance sort of align with or match up against what you expected?
Yeah, I think offensively, the messaging was everybody eats. And we saw that yesterday. 9 or 10 different guys catch a football in the game. You know, 4 different people carried the football. And it just seemed like it's going to be everybody's in this together. Who's got the best matchup? You know, you have Matt Collins one-on-one in the red zone. Arizona runs cover 0 blitz. Okay, here's our 6'4" receiver running down the seam. There's our guy. Oh, I have Shakir on an option route. Okay, that's probably a better look on this one. It's not simply forcing it to let's say a Stephon Diggs early in the game to try and keep him into the game. And I don't know that, but, you know, that's just how it appeared early in games last year. Okay, let's make sure Stephon's locked in for the game. Let's try and force him the ball early. It's truly going to be what's the best way that we can move the football in this game, in this situation, what's the best matchup, and it seems like that's going to be what the Bills do moving forward. And then defensively, you know, we knew it was going to look like a Sean McDermott defense, and it did yesterday. You know, the injuries to Taron Johnson and Matt Milano, I don't want to say they handcuffed Bobby Babbage in his first season calling plays, but it definitely makes it more difficult. And I thought that he adjusted really well yesterday. Yeah, you don't really know what Arizona is going to bring to the table. What do they look like with Marvin Harrison Jr. now, a healthy Kyler Murray from the start of the season? And Sean McDermott said it. I said it on the broadcast as well at halftime. It just looks like the Bills are reacting out there. They're not dictating at all to the Cardinals. And when you have a mobile quarterback and you're trying to just keep him in the pocket, you're giving him way too much time. And then they're also letting the Cardinals run the football effectively. So all that being said, I thought the adjustments in the second half getting a lot more aggressive were great. But, you know, all we've heard about was how Greg Rousseau was going to be a force this year. And, boy, did he put it on display. But I said on One Bills Live earlier, we used to always say in the offensive line, it generally takes two guys winning on the defensive line to get a sack. Well, Greg Rousseau gets three sacks. Well, that's a product. Well, one, he chases Kyler Murray out of bounds. The other two, there's great push in the pocket, or Von Miller's coming from the other side, which allows Greg Rousseau to get those sacks. So, really nice day by him, and some positive. I have some great positive takeaways from what I saw from Von Miller yesterday.
Yeah, I would have to agree. And in fact, the sack he generated was, you know, he pushed the lineman into Murray, who tripped on him, and he, you know, fell on him and got credit for that. The fact that he used that. I don't want to say Von Miller never used power before, but mostly he's been, you know, around the edge, the bend, and maybe a counter inside off of that once you've sort of established it. I don't know how often in a Bills uniform anyway I recall him just bull rushing a guy, but that's what he did yesterday. And I don't know that, you know, you need confidence in your leg for all of that stuff. And I was encouraged to see a little more versatility than I maybe was expecting from him.
Yeah, I agree. And we saw him out there on some first and tens, and he made some nice plays against the run. You know, even, you know, throughout Von's career, he's been primarily a pass rusher, and that's what he's known for. But I remember game planning for him when we were going to play Denver one year, and we kept telling our guards to make sure that Von doesn't make a huge move inside the tackle and get a tackle for loss if we're running zone towards Von Miller, because he's so slippery out there on the edge, almost making similar to pass rush moves while defending the run. And, you know, I think, you know, he's probably an underrated even run defender throughout his career, just because he's been such a great pass rusher throughout his career.
You mentioned Rousseau, and this is year four for him, right? And I was very concerned going into the year about their pass rush depth, concerning Miller, especially, like, can I count on this at his age, coming off of another injury? You know, the fact that he didn't look really like himself at all last year, accepting that it can take another year and all that. But I was just worried about pass rush. And as a part of that, I thought, like, well, Epenesa and Rousseau are who they are, right? I'm not expecting a step, really, from either guy. And Rousseau, I mean, three sacks yesterday. I mean, I'm not expecting him to just fill the stat sheet every week. But maybe that's another guy, and there were signs of this in the preseason, who's also kind of figured out who and what he can be against this competition.
Yeah, and, you know, Greg Rousseau, unfortunately, has had some injuries throughout his career. Now he's tough as nails. He plays through them, but, yeah, broke a bone in his foot and played through it for a number of weeks last year. I mean, he's tough as nails, but that's hurt some of his production and his numbers. And then, you know, when we took him out of the University of Miami, he was going to be a project-type player. You don't get a guy who's 6'6", with his wingspan athleticism at the 28th, 29th pick in the draft, if he's not a developmental player. You know what I mean? That guy's going to go in the top 5, top 10, if he doesn't have some developing. I covered him when he was at the University of Miami, when he had just converted from wide receiver to defensive end. He said his high school didn't even really have a weight room. And so really put on some weight and size in Miami, but just really learning the position, had a bunch of sacks in his redshirt sophomore season based solely off athleticism. So he's learning the game. He's learning how to use this size and strength and power that he's now acquired. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. He was probably less than 200 pounds, you know, coming out of high school. And so he's turning into a beast before our eyes. And you saw flashes of it the last few years. And it just seems like, you know, and we can, like, we've heard it so many years where the whole team and all the media attention is around a guy. And they talk about how excited they are for him for the season and what they've seen. I mean, how many times have we heard that about a guy? Well, it sure seems real with Greg Rousseau.
Best shape of his life.
Right.
I talked to Rousseau a couple weeks ago, Eric, and we talked a little bit about how he played receiver in high school. I mean, a lot of guys of his athletic talent are going to play both ways. There were times this summer, segue approaching, where I wondered if the Bills might need somebody on the team to play defense, to play receiver. Like, what are they going to do here? You mentioned already the mantra, and it's nine different players with a catch on, 18 catches in this game, modest totals. I do want to say again, this is really what happened almost everywhere in the league in week one. There's a real trend in that direction that started, you know, previous to this year. But is it good, right? We've been wondering all summer, yes and no. I think if you did have somebody really emerge as a go-to receiver that can be trusted, that's better. And maybe that's going to be Coleman here, Eric. I mean, if there's one guy on this list that really stood out at all in this game, I would think it would be Coleman.
I think your top three candidates for that would be Coleman, Shakir, and Kincaid. The guy that you say, okay, we're playing against a really good defense. They have studs everywhere. Someone's going to have to win a matchup. It's likely going to become one of those three guys. I just say that because Matt Collins has got some experience in this league, and he's not there yet. He's a good player. Glad the Bills have him on the squad, but you know he's your wide receiver four for a reason. And then Samuel can be that guy. He can separate, but he has a different type of role. He's great in the bubbles. He's probably going to work more kind of shorter option route type deal, get up the field, use his yards after catch ability. So I think, you know, in a pinch, and Josh Allen could tell you better than anybody, although he probably wouldn't reveal it. Yeah, you got one guy that you know you have to win. I'd be interested to hear who he said. I'm almost leaning towards maybe Kincaid, just based upon he's generally going to be matched up, maybe not against the corner. But all that being said, probably one of those three guys could emerge. But I was impressed with what I saw from Keon Coleman yesterday. He draws two penalties as well, which, you know, those don't show up on the stat sheet, but those move the sticks. And then he had the really nice contested catch on the back shoulder throw that, at least since I've been covering the Bills have had no one that Josh Allen can throw a ball to a back shoulder, and he's completed back shoulder fades. I'm saying a guy that can box out a defender and simply use his size to manhandle a guy out there at 6'4", 215 pounds, whatever he is. He's got that size and strength, and then he's also got some run after the catch ability. He excites me. And, you know, I think he's got some serious upside.
I don't know if you were drafting Kincaid in fantasy, Eric, but he was a pretty popular pick for a tight end in a year where, you know, there's some good candidates, including the guy the Bills faced yesterday in Trey McBride. But only one catch for Kincaid. The only times I noticed Kincaid in this game was when he was throwing his arms up, complaining that there wasn't a flag on a late hit. You know, how much of that do you think was sort of the plan, right? I mean, you want to spread the ball around and everything, but it can't either be the plan that he gets one ball.
No, I'd assume that they wanted to get him the ball, whether it's coverage or how plays, you know, kind of shook out where it didn't work out. It was interesting to me, and I haven't watched the All-22 to make an educated opinion on it, but, you know, the one game plan play where they fake the toss sweep and Josh turns and rifles it up the seam, well, that was Dawson Knox. Well, if that's Kincaid, is it as open because they understand that they're going to want to get him the ball and he's the better of the two receivers between him and Knox? So it was interesting to me that they dialed that play up for Dawson Knox in that situation.
Yeah, good point. I mean, yeah, teams might you know, they got to pick and choose, right? And I would understand, you know, being more alert, more on alert for something like that if it were Kincaid in that spot. Do you suppose Curtis Samuel's 17 snaps, McDermott didn't really directly answer whether it was due to him coming off of a toe injury late in the summer, but maybe sneaky, the most stunning thing about who played how much to me was Samuel only playing 17 snaps, because he was the one guy I thought would be on the field all the time.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, well, one, the Bills ran the ball a ton in the first half, and they just didn't a ton based upon their snap count. They didn't get that many plays in the first half. And then in the second half, they used some bigger sets, some six offensive linemen, even threw the ball out of having six offensive linemen on the field, some 12, even some 13 personnel. And so I expect Curtis Samuel to get a heavy workload this year. I don't know if it's the toe, which affected maybe his playing time, if it's the toe and a quick turnaround against Miami this week, and how all that shakes out. And I know Coach didn't give us great perspective, so we'll just play the guessing game, and we'll say that maybe all of it factored in.
Well, Eric, we've had this question and answer before with, over the years, the Bills going to play on Thursday night. But they get the first opportunity, in quotes, to go on the road in the short week here in week two. Last week doesn't count. I mean, it was a season opener for the Ravens and the Chiefs. And it's Miami besides. Sure, it's not going to be surface of the sun conditions because it's a night game, but still very hot and humid expected for this game Thursday. How big of a job is this for the Bills, just physically for the players, this early in the season to recover in time and be right?
So I'll say the earlier in the season, the easier it is to recover for a Thursday night game. Now, okay, you add in the travel and you add in the heat, which your body, you know, is going to be fairly recovered come Thursday. But there could be, you're not getting your normal, you know, couple days to ease into the week. Wednesday's your first kind of heavy practice of the week. On a normal week, you know, you're getting right back into it today. And so I'd say physically, if you're going to travel to Miami on a short week and it's going to be hot and humid whenever you go there, early in the season probably bodes well, just because you're less dinged up naturally than you're going to be later in the season. For me, I always like Thursday games kind of in that first, you know, third of the season, bye week, kind of somewhere around that two-thirds of the way through mark. So you almost spread out your breaks, if that makes sense.
Allen has been cleared to play and practice, so that's great news. We saw the left hand, left arm, heavily taped around the wrist there, and I even saw some analysis of him altering how he was handing the ball off after that happened. We also saw him on the sidelines talking to his center. I'm wondering from your perspective, Eric, when a quarterback is nursing, you know, a hand injury, thumb injury, wrist, whatever it is, you know, not in the case of Allen, I think we know it's not a thumb or anything, but just in general, is there anything a center can do to help that quarterback out? Like, do you change how you're doing what you're doing to try to lessen the stress on that type of injury for the quarterback?
No, and I would assume if this was a right hand injury, we would be having a different conversation. Yeah. You know, he'd likely be out. But so your top hand, the hands that's taking the impact of the snap from an under center snap, you know, that's going to be his top hand, which will be his right hand. So that shouldn't affect things. And then on your shotgun snaps, you're likely going to snap them, you know, the same. I mean, if you were as precise as you could possibly be, maybe you kind of favor the right side a little bit just so he can catch it more on his right hand. But I've always been told you're aiming for the belly button. And between the belly button and the belt buckle, which is a pretty small target, but that means, you know, it's maybe a little bit lower than, you know, chest height where the quarterback can just put it right up to his ear, but it gives you a bigger miss margin where you don't sail it when you got a dude barreled out of your face if you do go offline a little bit. So I don't think it would be an issue, and I certainly hope it doesn't become an issue this week.
Miami, it was later than what the Bills did, but a comeback win of their own yesterday against Jacksonville, 20-17. You know, for the most part, the Dolphins are kind of, we all know what they're about with Hill and Waddle and Tua and Devin Achane, who was good again in the backfield and even out wide a little bit yesterday. Eric, like, this game psychologically for Miami, I know how long the season is and everything else, but the Bills just ripped the division from them late last season when the Dolphins seemed to have it locked up, 3 up with 5 left. And of course, the Bills have dominated them and won the division 4 years in a row. It's early for this, but this has just got to be a huge game for them psychologically. You know, and the Bills, maybe it's a little different with how much success they've had against the Dolphins. They could recognize the importance, but this is the kind of game that nobody really takes the Dolphins seriously until they win a game like this.
You're right. And the Bills trounced them early in the year in Buffalo and then go down and beat them in week 18 down there. And this is, I mean, Josh Allen has owned Miami. And even in his losses, statistically, he's been great. And so, yeah, if I'm Miami right now, I'm saying, if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm telling my guys, hey, look, this is a game we got to go win. If we're going to change the perception, even internally, not even like worrying about what the national perception of this is, but even internally, like, we need to get some confidence because they stunk last year against teams with a winning record. And, you know, they beat Jacksonville last week, which was a nice win. I mean, if ETN doesn't fumble that ball on the way into the end zone, we might be having a different conversation here today. But turnovers happen in the NFL. And when they happen inside the 5-yard line going in, it's really tough, but it happens. Bengals had one as well, too, against the Patriots. But, yeah, if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm getting my guys in the mindset that, look, this is a Buffalo team that's owned us. Kind of similar messaging to, like, how we would talk about the Patriots back in the day. Like, if we want to finally take over this division, if we want to finally make a run at this division and win it, these are the games you got to win.
Obviously, you'd like to have your full complement of players, regardless of the opponent. But Miami, with Hill and Waddle, Achan, like Mike just talked about, you know, we got good news on Josh Allen. Not the best news, obviously, on Taron Johnson. He's at least, at this point, we know, out this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This game, how big a loss?
It's huge. I mean, I think Matt Milano and Taron Johnson are your two best players on your defense. Maybe as the season goes on, you can convince me of Greg Rousseau or Ed Oliver. Shoot, maybe even Von Miller. He gets all the way back there. And, you know, the Bills have plenty of quality pieces, but Taron Johnson is one of my favorite football players to watch in the entire NFL. I mean, he's just an absolute stud. And to lose him that early in the game yesterday, affected the game yesterday, and then you talk about going against one of the most prolific, if not the most prolific offenses in football, it becomes a big deal, especially when you're already down Milano. And it's going to be a tough matchup for this defense. Now, you know, when we saw this defense go against this Miami offense, whether it was the first game we played Miami last year or the second time we faced them later in the season, it's like early in the game, no matter how much work and prep you put into it, it's just a different level of speed, and those motions are going everywhere, and it's taken them a little while to settle in. It'll be interesting to me to see kind of this group to see if they can start this game a little faster, because the last two times the game started as a track meet.
Allen, 36 passing touchdowns and five more rushing in 13 career games against the Dolphins, of which the Bills have won 11. Eric, it's great to have you back on our show Mondays. We'll do it again next Monday if that works for you, despite the game being on Thursday night.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. And of those 11 wins, how many AFC Offensive Player of the Week have you won against Miami? I think it's like six.
Maybe. He'll probably win this week. I mean, for yesterday.
Yeah, right.
That includes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I would think so. Until
Breece Hall tonight. That's for Bulldog, who thinks the Jets are going to be terrible, and I think they're going to be really good. We'll see if he can hold off Breece Hall for AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Very good.
Good.
Thanks, Eric. Talk to you next Monday.
There you go. That's Eric Wood on the Western Hotline and his weekly appearances with us here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
All right. Football Monday.
We'll actually talk to Eric on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Roundtable. He and Brownie. We're on deck for a night game for pregame coverage. So we'll get Eric on Thursday, and then
Monday.
Yep.
But then after that is Monday night. So there's another pregame show.
When are we going to do that?
I'm going out there for that one.
Oh, yeah, you're going to the game,
I guess,
right?
I should ask work if that's okay. But, yes, I think I'll be out there for that one.
All right.
There should be a way to do that.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Well,
Chris Brown and Eric Wood will be standing there on microphones where I'd be standing. So hopefully there's room.
I think they can make it work for you. But let's make sure everyone in the booth knows that's happening.
Yeah, everyone needs to know that. I've just said it.
They're listening.
Now they do.
Yep.
What did you think yesterday? How did it match with what you were expecting from the Bills this year, good or bad? 8:03:05:50. Sal Capaccio later on. Allen is cleared to practice, which is not exactly saying he's fine, but still, that's good news. Of course, Taron Johnson out for the Dolphins. More in sports after this. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I'm glad we made those adjustments. Players look like they got into a rhythm in the second half, and some of that comes from just waiting for Kyler maybe to try and get out of the pocket instead of going to get him in an aggressive fashion. And, you know, look, it's first game, so there's a lot of unknowns, and you haven't been back in the saddle for some of those guys in a while, so I'm glad we played ourselves through it and coached ourselves through it. But we got to be better overall in terms of affecting the quarterback and also making sure we keep contained.
Sean McDermott, the Bills over Kyler Murray and the Cardinals in week one, 34-28. It wasn't boring. Let's get connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We welcome your calls at 8:03:05:50 as we hang out during a thunderstorm morning here in Erie County and some surrounding parts.
Not just a warning, it's actually thunderstorming here right now.
Well, It's still a warning, though.
Well, a warning was issued, but it's come to fruition that it's actually there's a thunderstorm.
If the thunderstorm starts, the warning is no longer in effect? No.
No, I think you still want to be warned about it. I'm just saying it's...
It's worse than a warning.
It's worse than
it's
a warning.
It's real.
It's actually happening. Oh, yeah. I walked out in the lobby and I heard thunder.
I never thought about the warning going away once it starts raining. Bill is with us. Bill, settle this. Please.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing on this afternoon?
We're fine.
We're great, Bill. Thanks. Yeah.
I'd like to say, you know, like for what the game was in the beginning, other than the shakiness and getting used to, you know, your new surroundings, new players in the first 20 minutes of the game, I think that they played very well, and I would say very balanced. They seemed strong. Like, if that's a precursor to things to come moving forward, they should have no troubles at all good as they've been in past years. As far as some of their new players, they all played very well and very solid.
Okay, well, we'll see. Balanced isn't my favorite thing. I think it's going to be interesting this year, especially if it's this way league-wide, which so far it is, continuing from last year, that we're going to be back to, you already hear it from analysts now, you're going to be back to the importance of establishing the run, which the Bills themselves blew out of the water as a concept in their rise to excellence in the last 4 years. Like, they never needed to establish crap to get as good as they've been to win this division 4 years in a row. They have a quarterback who can run over you, literally, and so that's good. But this team did not ever need to be balanced. They didn't suffer for it. Now, I think they want to be, if that's even the word for it. I mean, I would even say conservative. I think they want to be. I think everything that's happened with their roster, as we've talked about every day in here all summer, has pointed to that. Mac Hollins included. Like, I tend to forget about Mac Hollins because I'm thinking about targets and fantasy stuff. What is Mac Hollins? He is a run blocker guy who's going to be on the field all the time, and he's big body. He caught a touchdown pass yesterday. Good read, pretty easy play. Like, he's that good. But really, what his role is going to be is to just further that other, I think, philosophy from the Bills. So maybe it'll work, right? Anything can. And the league has made it harder on the teams with the best quarterbacks to just chunk play down the field through the air. But I don't want to treat it like it's better because I don't think it is. And let's not forget that the Bills did not need the running game at all to go to the playoffs 5 years in a row. I mean, now maybe they'll have one. And maybe that'll be good, but it's not like it needed to go that way.
Well, what is still to be determined is exactly how right that is, that they didn't need it in the past. That I can't argue that. I wouldn't want to argue that. I was all for how they wanted to go about it, but hidden in the midst of all that, not hidden. I mean, you said it plainly. The league, the trend, and is where we're at with explosive plays and all these super talented quarterbacks. You know, it's a generalization, but we've heard for a couple of years running now, like, oh, KC doesn't look the same. Explosive plays, teams are having a harder time pushing it down the field. I mean, the Bills even back in 2020 played the Chiefs in a game doing exactly that and letting the Chiefs run it. And, you know, it was a close enough game, but, you know, they ended up losing it. So maybe balance is more called for. Whether you need to establish it or not, I mean, I don't even really care about that phrasing anymore. You just need other ways to move the ball. And so besides just throwing it over people's heads. I mean, I think we all know. I mean, I think even Sean McDermott in the winter was talking about explosive plays and recognizing their importance. Like, successful drives with points often have the hidden advantage of an explosive play in there, just like, you know, I don't want to say cheap yards, but, you know, if you can get 30 on one play or even 20 on one play, that's going to help go a long way towards moving the ball, lessens the potential to make mistakes. So you still want those. I just think you can't live on them if defenses are going to play you the way they're playing you. And it remains to be seen whether this idea league-wide really takes hold. And whether it takes hold with the Bills, my sense is that it will because of how last year ended. And does it bear fruit for you? Because the idea, I think, should be, yes, okay, we're balanced. They got to respect everything we're doing here. We're not just going to be reckless and try and throw it over your head. And we're successful. We're moving the ball. And we're hurting you with the run game. Do teams react to that and come out of what they're doing to then open up that back end again and expose themselves? My guess would be early on that they won't. They're going to let you run it, kind of like the Bills did against the Chiefs 4 years ago. Go ahead and run it. You're going to get your 5 yards of carry, and we're going to make you grind this out, and maybe eventually you'll take a illegal procedure penalty, and it'll be first and 15, and you'll try to run it, but you're going to end up in third and 7, and we're going to come for you. So we'll see how that all fleshes out, but I think the Bills might be, I don't want to even say on the front end of a wave, because the wave might already be crashing the beach, and we just didn't know it. Like last year, it started out in the ocean, kind of like an earthquake gets you a tsunami, and it's coming. Run, run, run. We got to run because the throwing is just, the bread and butter isn't there anymore. We'll see. That's a lot to really say and take as fact, and I'm definitely not stating it as fact, but it's in the air, I think, that is the direction a lot of teams are going to end up going. So we'll see if they can make it work that way.
It is, to me, I mean, decidedly the most interesting sort of development. It's not a trend yet, I guess. It's 1 week in the league. You had, I mean, 30 quarterbacks have started this week. 13 eclipsed 200 passing yards. What happened? What happened to this league? 13.
Only one yesterday. I said that wrong. 300-yard passer, there was only one yesterday. Tua.
And then Stafford.
Oh, he got there at night. Sorry.
But I'm saying 200.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Prescott, 19 for 32, 179. Geno Smith, 18 for 25, 171. Trevor Lawrence, well, they lost, but 12 for 21, 162. I mean, now you have sort of the other suspects. Justin Fields, 156. How about Justin Herbert in a win against the Raiders? 17 for 26, 144. Brissett in a win. 15 for 24, 121.
That's good for Brissett, actually.
Okay, well, that's very harsh. Caleb Williams, 14 for 29, 93. They stole that win with two defensive or special teams touchdowns.
Yep.
When they were down 17-0. And Allen is resemblant of this. I mean, he's a big numbers guy, statistically. 18 for 23, 232. Two attempts almost at the two-minute warning of the first half in this game, and that wasn't going well, but it turned around. Yeah. You know, you had a couple guys. Tua led the way, like you said, 338. That's a real number. That's what the Bills get next. Mayfield had a great game for Tampa. 24 for 30, 289 and 4 against Washington. But this is kind of how it is now. 803-0550. Alex is next. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I'm a Bills fan that lives down here in Miami. In your opinion, what is the best possible game plan that you think Sean McDermott will call on Thursday against these Dolphins? I'm very concerned about this game. I saw the Jaguars game yesterday. The Jaguars stopped them in the first half, and then they self-destructed in the second half. I'll just hang up and listen to you guys, see what you think.
I think defending Miami, if that's where you want to start, because I think, you know, attacking them, Allen has eaten all over the place. I mean, it's a buffet for him when they play Miami. So I'll trust, you know, however they're going to scheme things up, whatever the differences are in their philosophies this year, that they'll find a way to eat on offense against this team. Defending them, I think, is all about disrupting the timing. The ball comes out quick. A lot of it is predicated on the receivers getting off clean. So as much as the Bills like to play zone, I think jamming guys, if you want to risk it. I mean, the risk is that they're going to get past you and you're in trouble. But I think if you can get the timing off so that when Tua hits his back foot, the guy is not where he's supposed to be. Because Rasul Douglas or Benford or Cam Lewis or whomever has just gotten enough of them at the line of scrimmage to throw that timing off. I think that's a big key when you play Miami. You know, getting there on him, he's not elusive. So, you know where he's going to be mostly, but the ball comes out pretty fast. So I think, you know, depending on your pass rush can be tough. So I need, obviously, the best pass rush I can get, but I want to disrupt Hill and Waddle as best I can. It's part of the reason they use that motion as effectively as they do and are motivated to do it is because it makes it harder to be in, you know, you're not just lined up static, staring at a guy across the line of scrimmage, ready to put your hands on him with a jam because he's whipping across the formation and has a running start by the time he gets to where you are defending him or you're chasing him across the formation. It just makes it harder to do that. So, that's a big part of the challenge to me is disrupting timing.
Alex, don't lose sleep. We'll see what happens, but the Bills have beaten Miami 11 out of 12, and in the loss, they outgained them by 285 yards, right? Like, Miami fans should be the nervous ones. Who know? I'm not saying the Bills will win. I would never claim to know that, but it's really the other guys whose matchup questions have to get answered here on defense against Allen, because they've just almost been, you know, useless against him. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR. Tense times for Bulldog with his Joe Ostrowski NFL Survivor pick on the line tonight. You had a nice relaxed Sunday when it came to this. Not having to worry at all.
Right.
I sweated out two of these. I'm in each of his pools. And I lost one. I went to the Bengals. So I'm all talk, right? Never pick the chalk in Survivor the first week. But what changed is, in my mind, I can't just leave it alone like you're doing. You're good at that. Just, I picked it. Whatever.
Right.
I'm not going to change it seven times like Mike does. What changed is there was so much questioning of the Bengals with Chase and Higgins, and I thought against what was New England going to be offensively? And I got Burrow. I might have Chase. What? So they were bad last year in week one, so I'm okay, and not as many people will pick them as before.
Because of the Higgins and Chase stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because the line came down.
Yeah.
When we talked to Joe, they were an 8.5-point favorite, and the Bills were 6. By yesterday morning, it was 7.5, 6.5. Like, it was almost the same. So I left the Saints. I told you how I was going to pick the Saints. And I heard Joe's producer, he made fun of his producer because he thought the Saints were like a bad team. Never pick a bad team. And so, okay.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
That was that like 21-0? Before the first quarter was over?
I just remember
seeing on the bottom line, the score as it was going. Like, there was a minute to go, and it was sideways right away.
Oh, my gosh. Carolina.
Ugh.
What a start.
Good luck
for Carolina.
Good luck to the new coach there. Boy.
I mean, Bryce Young, I didn't watch this game, of course, but you can't take him out yet. But they could do it. There's one. We got to get to a break already. There's one way they could do it. They have Andy Dalton, who's got to be better. There's one way they could do it, which is like, look, all right, this is going to take time. I just got here. Let's just not completely destroy the kid, and we'll keep working. Don't give up. I think you have to send that message a certain way, because I think most people will assume that's it. Like we did with Manuel. You know, like once they come out, that's probably the end, but not first overall after week one and year two with a new coach necessarily. Just Zach Wilson had this too, you know, like let's just everybody take a breath. Dalton's going to play.
Yeah.
We're going to work on this. There's a lot of potential, all that kind of stuff. But man, it's bleak.
It is. And they may do that and maybe he's recoverable. I don't know, but let's see. He's not real big, doesn't have a real big arm, and isn't that great an athlete. Other than that, I mean, how's it going? Like, I still, with all the information that these people have at their disposal, it still blows my mind that he was, like, as much of a consensus. I mean, it was, you know, a little scrambly leading up to the draft, but really, I don't remember a lot of people like really going, oh, no way should this guy be the first overall pick.
No.
And the whole time, people are, oh, well, Kyler Murray's small. I'm like, Kyler Murray's one of the best runners you're ever going to see at the position ever. This guy is not that. He does not have that club in the bag. So, again, like, where's my edge with him? Like, he was accurate at Alabama? I don't know, man.
Carolina kicked a field goal to end the first half yesterday, cutting New Orleans' lead to 30-3. Congrats on that 3 points, Panthers. They have the Chargers this week in Charlotte. How impressed were you with the Bills? 803-0550. We'll get back to their win against Arizona and a look ahead to the short turnaround Thursday night in Miami. After sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.